I do appreciate, on behalf of our family, everyone's prayers and your words. And there's Mrs. Price will be in the foyer after the service. There's a couple of needs for helping out with my parents and then with Randy and the kids with some meals this week. So if you can help with that, see Mrs. Price, and really appreciate that. To say that devastated would be an understatement. I told my wife, we've had many loved ones pass away in my family, but in every event, it's been a time when they've lived their life and they were sick and ready to go. And this is different. And it's not an easy thing at all, but God is faithful. Yes. And he is true. And though our hearts hurt, our faith knows that God's in control. And so do appreciate your prayers. I don't have any sort of arrangements or anything to be done early this week, but do pray for Randy, please. And pray for Zach and Lisi, and pray for my parents. Just pray for them. And just keep Rachel, myself, and our families in your prayers. But he will be glorified.
Yes.
Amen. I have this message the Lord laid upon my heart to preach for this morning. And he did so Thursday. And, you know, after Friday and evaluating, I obviously, you know, prayed much about the message to bring, but God would not let me go from this. And so we try to follow the Lord at all times. And I believe he has a reason. But in Acts chapter number 5, and we're going to read a text here in just a second. But what's going on here in these few chapters is God is doing an amazing work. God is using his church there at Jerusalem, and in Acts chapter number 2, 3,000 people get saved. That's a glorious day, amen. In Acts chapter number 3, a lame man is healed. Peter and John approach him, and they begin to preach there Jesus and repentance. And of course, they're brought in for questioning, they're threatened, but let go. And chapter 3 ends with the whole church unified, praising God, and expecting more trials to come, but to know that God was in control. Matter of fact, the whole place was shaken as they were unified in prayer and preaching. Then you get to Acts in chapter number 4. And again, we have in chapter 4, verse 4, 5,000 people get saved. You thought 3,000 was glorious. 5,000 is even more. And what a powerful testimony they're able to share. And they're arrested this time. They're beaten because they were threatened before. And this time they're beaten and they're released. And they're sent out, counting it a privilege to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they told them not to preach, but they just kept on preaching. And the church is excited. Things, I mean, what a glorious time. We had 5,000 saved on one day. You wouldn't be sitting there looking at me like the way you are, right? They were, obviously things were going great, and the church was blessable and faithful and united and excited. I mean, things are just, people are selling their property and giving these large gifts for the edification of the members in the church. And that's how chapter 4 ends. And then you get to chapter 5, and if you look down in your Bibles like mine, there's a big word there. It says, but. All these great things going on. But. I mean, the church is on fire for God. Souls, thousands are being saved. But something shook the church. In the midst of great things happening, God brought something to shake the church. Not to trouble them. That was not the end result. The end results in verse number 11 in chapter 5, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. It was not a hide under the pew fear. It was a fresh reverence for God. A renewing of how great He is and how just He is. Things were going great. The government was poking at them, but they were still going on. People were being saved. Churches are going to get started. I mean, the work was going as it should. People were preaching and standing and unified. But something happened. I had a different outlook on this message on Thursday than I do today. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for all that God's doing. I mean, as I speak this morning, we're in the process of planting 3 churches. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. Buses are rolling today. Good numbers came in. Souls are being saved. Ministries getting back in gear from all this. Things are great. So, sometimes God will allow something to help us. And that's what God does. And He's wonderful. In this passage of Scripture, let's read the story. You probably know it. But in chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, 'Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.' And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came upon all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, 'Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much?' He said, 'Yea, for so much.' Then Peter said unto her, 'How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out.' Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please use the message. I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your power. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just enable this morning, speak to our hearts as only you can. May the Holy Spirit have free reign and keep a hedge about this place, please. And Lord, we do love you. I pray that we would for a moment now be still. We listen to what thus saith the Lord. And I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning, when the church may need a great fear. And I'm not talking about, again, hiding and shivering in fear. I mean a respect, a reverence, and a refreshing. Because, you know, why would God allow these things and what happened in this story, or apply it to us as a church today. You know, why would God allow, you know, what He has this week in our lives? And the fact is this, I may not have an answer. I don't right now. But I do know this, that God will use all things for His good. And I do know this, that if God will allow us, He'll wake us up to maybe some things, because it's easy, just possibly like the church here, that things are just going well and we just are in cruise control and God is blessing and things are happening, that maybe some things are allowed because the pastor needs to step back and the members and say, it's all You, God. And I trust You, God. Now, what happened in this passage of Scripture is not what we're going through. No one's lying to the Holy Ghost that I know of, and no one's doing anything like that. But God allowed these things for a purpose. Because the church needed this fresh fear. And the church would go on and do some absolutely amazing things. How do I know? Because we're gathered here 2,000 years later. God did some tremendous things and used the church as they began to send people out. Churches were started, and thank the Lord for it. And without a doubt, I look at a church, and I'm not going to compare us to the church at Jerusalem, but I'm looking at a church today that loves God, loves each other, that loves sowing the seed and sending people out and missions and ministries, planting of churches. I look at a church today that is excited about that and is active in those things. What can we do now? We can let God help us. We can let God use things to encourage us. And I don't know if none of these apply to you, but I found a few things in this passage of Scripture. Some I'm sure will. Why did God, in the midst of all these wonderful things, why is there in chapter 5, verse 1, but? Some relate this story to the story of Achan in the Old Testament. They call this the New Testament Achan with Ananias and Sapphira. So what was God doing here? Why did the church need this fresh fear? Number one, I encourage you to jot these down, remember these. They needed a fresh fear because there were some that desired position over service. There were some that, Ananias and Sapphira, who wanted to be known. Now, I don't see that, but I'm just preaching the Bible today, which is what we're supposed to do, amen? I don't think that's here. But it's in the Word of God for our warning. Because trust me, it can happen anywhere. To where you get to a place where chapter number 4 ends, that there is a man by the name of Joseph, who we know as Barnabas, who sold and gave everything to help the members there at the church. And the Bible just says in verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And boy, you know, he stood out. He did a great work, and praise the Lord. Obviously, you study the rest of his life. He loved the Lord and loved the service of the Lord. So Ananias and Sapphira decided, we want to do that. We want to do this. We want to, you know, give a big gift, and we could do this. And you know, and I don't think I'm reading into things, because you know what happens. They were very self-centered people at times. Now, I'm going to stop and say this. I believe Ananias and Sapphira were saved. I do. Because they were a member of the church. And you don't become a member of the church without profession of faith and baptism. I know that the Holy Ghost spoke to them, and they lied to the Holy Ghost. So obviously God, the Holy Ghost, had told them to do something, but they were playing games with God. But they decided they would do this in order to maybe someone would write their name down to be remembered thousands of years later. Which happened. But not the way they desired. Maybe they just wanted someone to pat them on the back. Maybe they wanted their name to be talked about by Peter. And the fact is, sometimes, and this unfortunately, and again, I praise God, I do not see it here at Cathedral Baptist Temple, but I've grown up in church and I know enough to know there's a whole lot of politicking that goes on in churches. Where people want a position. They want a title. They want to work up a ladder and be known. Can I just give you some good sound counsel here? Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we are all servants of His. But there were some who wanted a position and not serve. The second reason possibly God allowed this to happen is because there were some that desired praise over just being a servant. They wanted praise. They got this plan together. They wanted to be noticed. They wanted to be applauded. They wanted people to take note of who they were. And every one of us in this room have an issue with pride. We all do. It's called being human, all right? We love ourselves. I mean, even the Lord gave us men an example. How can we properly love our wives as we love ourselves, right? I mean, just we love ourselves. In these, they wanted someone to praise them. They wanted the attention. They wanted the notoriety. And praise the Lord for every Sunday school teacher. Praise the Lord for every bus worker. Praise the Lord for our piano players, our musicians. It honors the Lord. Our song leader. I, as a pastor, we need to understand something. We never do it for man's applause. May everything be done for His glory and for His praise. Perhaps God allowed this to happen, number three, because the church maybe was getting a wrong focus on the purse over sacrifice. A little too much attention to money. I say the church because the members of the church, and Ananias and Sapphira obviously had this issue in their life, right? So how do you know that? They love money. So how do you know they love money? Because once they sold the land, and I believe God told them too, I believe, because they lied to the Holy Ghost when it was all said and done. I believe the Lord told them to do it. I believe they sold the property, and they sit there and they got their amount, and I don't know how much the amount was, but when they had that stack of money sitting in front of them, one of them said, "That's a lot of money." One of them said, "Do we have to give it all?" Just as Achan, when he saw the gold and the silver and the Babylonian garment, he began to eat at him, right? He wanted it. They began to stare at it. They wanted it. And it began to burn in their heart. Now, listen. It was their money. They didn't have to give it. Even Peter talks about that in verse number 4. He says, "This was yours." But the fact is this, they walked into church and they said, "We're giving it all. We're giving everything. Here's what we sold it for and here's the money." But they lied. Because they wanted to keep some of it. They lied, not just to man, but they lied to God, Peter said. Maybe I don't see everyone's tithes and offerings and giving. Things are going well, but don't lie. Maybe a fourth reason why God allowed this was because their perception was not sincere. Their perception was not sincere. So what do you mean by that? Here's another word for that phrase. They're being hypocrites. They walked in, put on quite a show, but it wasn't real. Something was wrong in their heart. Again, I've already told you, I believe they were saved, but there was some sin hidden in their life. Some sin. When the Lord gave the message, and then I questioned whether to preach it today. When tragedy hits like it has, it did me, and I hope it does you. Death could come at any time. And if there's something you're playing around with, some sin that maybe just you and God know about today, confess it today. Turn from it today. Run from it today. Don't sit in a church service with your tie on or your nice outfit and your Sunday best and smile, but sit in a pew and know that there's something wrong in your life. Maybe God wants to expose that in your life today. I hope you'll listen. A fifth reason why possibly allowed this is because they were being persuaded by the wrong spirit. They were being persuaded by the wrong spirit. In verse number 3, it says, "And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" They had allowed the devil to fill their heart with wrong thinking. They had allowed the devil to fill their mind. On bus, and my kids are sitting up here, right? Being pretty good, thank you. On bus today, I held up an empty bottle. And there was water in it, but I drank it. And then I held that bottle up and I asked, "Well, what can I put in this bottle now?" You know, the first person said water, of course, yeah. But then they got it, right? You can put, we talked about Mountain Dew. It'd be Diet Mountain Dew. Iced tea, someone said, right? Then somebody said money. We could put rocks in it. I said, "Well, let's say we put the rocks in here, a bunch of pebbles, we put the rocks. Put the lid on it, take it home, I open it up, and I pour it out. What's going to come out of it?" Rocks. They got it, see? Yeah, right? What comes out of it? Whatever you put into it. Christian, child of God, member of Cazado Baptist Temple. It is possible to be saved, sitting in a good church, everything going right, everything going good, souls are being saved, churches are being started, but you're allowing the devil to fill your heart with lies. Through the music, through the media, through all these things around us, we allow the culture of the world to begin to fill our heart. There's young people sitting here today that, but no doubt, the devil's filled your heart and mine with wrong goals and wrong ambitions and wrong thoughts about things. And it's possible to be sitting in God's house and still, even in your heart, be filled with lies from the devil. By looking at things on the internet that you have no business looking at. Watching movies that should not be part of your life. Listening to the devil's music. Allowing wrong philosophies and reading these things. I don't care who you are, it will trouble your spirit. It will trouble your mind. And they had allowed. No doubt the devil whispered in their ear, "That's a lot of money. Do you really want to give it all? Do you really? Why don't you say that you gave it all? Keep some of it. No one will know the difference." When they walked into the church, that's what they were thinking. And Peter said, "Why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart?" Maybe another reason, number 6, is because they were pretending that God wouldn't judge. Maybe in their heart they had just decided, surely Nothing bad's gonna happen. Surely, it'll be all right. No one will find out. Now, if they were there and members of this church, I know they knew God. I know they knew, and because, you know, they had been taught by the apostles and being instructed, God knows everything. I mean, I don't care. You know, you don't have to be a mature Christian to get that concept. Yet they'd allowed themselves to just convince themselves that God's not going to do anything about this. God will just overlook this. God will just, you know, just somehow, you know, turn a blind eye towards me and my sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The psalmist said, I will be sorry for my sin. And perhaps there's someone here today that you know that you're a sinner, you know that Christ died for you, you know that he rose again, you know these things. You know in your heart that if you neglect salvation, there is a hell, but in some way you've allowed the devil to fill your mind that, well, God will let me in. God will let me be the exception. I spoke to one early this week. And they are not saved. And they said that his exact words, they said, but they said, I am a good person. If God is loving like you say he is, God will let me in. Because I'm not out there doing all these wicked things. I said, all I can tell you is Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But there are so many people sitting in churches that just sit there and think, well, God's not, you know, it isn't, and we just live our life thinking we're going to escape the reality, look at me, of judgment. Judgment is coming. Everyone will stand before the Lord one day. I will stand before the Lord one day. You will stand before the Lord one day. They walked in there thinking, well, you know, no one's going to know. God won't do anything. But God did. And both fell down and died. In this church that was busy and busting at the seams and unified and doing all kinds of great things said, whoa. Whoa. Why did this happen? And I promise you that the next family that sold their property to give to the church, when they saw the money sitting there and God said, give all, they gave all. Promise. The next ones that are sitting there and Peter would stand up and preach on confessing sin. If the Lord spoke to them and they saw a sin in their life, they said, yeah, I'm not going to play around with sin. Those that were sitting there and the devil whispered in their ear, why doesn't no one pay attention to you? Doesn't matter. I'd rather just serve God and let God handle it. So why were they thinking that way? Because great fear came upon the church. Because God allowed something that just made everybody step back and say, wait, let's do this right. Let's honor God. Last night, at 9:30, I was laying there. My phone rings, and Zach called me. He said, Uncle Travis, he said, I don't understand everything that's happened. He said, but I know that I've been having too much fun in life and just focusing on me and my games and my... He said, I just want you to know I ask God to forgive me, and I want to get so serious about serving God. He said, I want to be involved in every ministry. I want to do everything I can. He said, will you help me? I said, of course I will. He said, I want to read my Bible more. How do I study the Bible? And we talked about it. He said, I just want to serve him. And I want to get all this other stuff out of my life. So what happened? Great fear came upon him. A reality of what we're here for. The importance of doing it. Doing it right. There's some other young people that need to wake up a little bit too today. Just coasting through life. May great fear come upon our church. May I, as pastor, Brother Slee, busy, may we stop and allow great fear to come upon our life. It's not us. It's not our power. It's not our wisdom. We've got to keep sin out of our life. We need to do inventory daily. Don't allow little things, to petty things, to stand between us and the Lord and the Spirit of God. Every heart you hurt, we all do together. God, why would you have that sermon and give me that sermon? Well, because it's good for us to stop and allow a fresh fear to fall upon our life. Not a phobia of God, but a reality. And may God help us to be faithful and to reach as many as we can with every ministry we have, to tell somebody about Jesus, to sing his praise, to give him glory. Let's let God do it. Would you bow your heads with me?